الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي يا
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته All brothers are requested to come forward to fill in the gaps الحمد لله الله سبحانه وتعالى has gathered us here today on a Sunday it's the Easter weekend and many of us many of our friends could have easily been somewhere else easily been going out with our family. But yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from everyone He chose us to be in the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As mentioned in the hadith, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that those gatherings in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned, the angels are present in this gathering. And the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down. So we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the chance to come to these gatherings. That alhamdulillah, many of us by choice, we weren't forced to be here. Many of us by choice, we came here. And this in itself is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many of our friends, we know of our friends, that we maybe invite them to the masjid, yet still they don't want to come to the masjid. Many of us, maybe we don't pray our salah on time. This is a chance for us to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many of us, maybe we don't pray salah with jama'ah. This way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us together. So alhamdulillah, we've had our football. Now inshallah we'll have a small talk, and after this inshallah we'll conclude with du'a. Our guest Mufti Ayasab, mashallah, he studied in South Africa. Thereafter he was imam in America, in Texas. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken much work of deen from Mufti Sahab. So I'd like to begin by thanking Mufti Sahab for taking his time out. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him a long and healthy life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carry on taking the work of deen with him. So, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi ala ni'matil Islam. Thumma alhamdulillahi ala ni'matil Iman. Wa kafa bihi ni'ma. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khair khalqihi Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi wa ashabihi. ومن تابعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم واتل ما أوحي إليك من كتاب ربك لا مبدل لكلماته ولن تجد من دونه ملتحدا واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا ولا تطع من أغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا واتبع هواه وكان أمره فرطا وقل الحق من ربكم فمن شاء فليؤمن ومن شاء فليكفر قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سبعة يظلهم الله في ظله يوم لا ظل إلا ظله الإمام العادل وشاب نشأ في عبادة الله ورجلان تحابا لله اجتمعا لله وتفرق عليه ورجل قلبه معلق في المساجد ورجل دعته امرأة ذات منصب وجمال فقال إني أخاف الله ورجل تصدق بصدقة فأخفاها حتى لا تعلم شماله ما تنفق يمينه ورجل ذكر الله خاليا ففاضت عيناه رواه إمام بخاري والمسلم متفق عليه آمنت بالله صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين أما بعد اللهم صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم علم ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us five principles of making a successful life. To become successful in this dunya while we are surrounded by different challenges that we are facing now and different fitna, attractions and then things that makes us deviate from the right path. There are ways of saving plus the success, and those who will follow this principle, the success will continue. It's not like a temporary success. If you achieve a degree of doctorate, like you become a medical doctor or you become an engineer, so you are successful that particular moment. But until when this success will last? As long as you are healthy, you can earn, you can work. But soon as you become useless as far as the physical body is concerned and you become sick, then your degree will not help you. But Quran, whatever success it offers, is an eternal success, continuous success. That you will get success in dunya, in the world, and in hereafter. In order to understand what I'm going to mention from Suratul Kahf, it is a cave. Cave, it is that area where people try to save themselves when they find difficulty, tornado, or disaster, or you know any kind of earthquake, something, and they are far away from the vicinity and the civilization, and they find a cave, they just try to hid there in order to save themselves. So Allah has mentioned for us a surah which is called Suratul Kahf. And it is also based on that youth. Fityatun amanu bi rabbihim wa zidnahum huda. There were 9 of them, there were 10, maybe 11 with the dog. And all of them were fitya, young people, youngster, maybe teenagers, some of them, some youngster. And how Allah saved them from the fitna of the kufr, of the nifaq, of the shirk, and of the tyrant king. And Allah prolonged their life, and Allah has mentioned that miracle in the Quran. So Allah, why He mentioned this event for us, so that we can take lesson and bring our life according to their life to become successful. In order to understand this, what I'm going to mention is a brief introduction from a book called Masnavi Sharif. Masnavi, Imam Masnavi Rahmatullah Ali, Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali, would bring and give metaphorical example for us to understand. It is just metaphorical example so that we can understand the entire issue, entire subject. So he mentions that in a jungle, king, it is known that lion is the king of the jungle. So he was coming towards the end. So he called his youngster, and advised him that, "I'm going to give you some advice. If you follow my advice, you'll be successful. You'll be a very strong king in this jungle. But if you disobey me, then you will have problems." So the child was very attentive, now you listen to me attentively, the way he became attentive to listen to his father. "What advice is my father going to give me that I should be very careful?" He said, "Everywhere go in the jungle, you'll be dominating. You have power, you'll have strength. But don't go nearer to human. Human are very dangerous people." And this is the advice. Now this child is growing and his curiosity grows in him. And he wonders, what is this human being that my father was so scared, he died even while mentioning the name. So he said, I'm a intelligent child, we think like we are growing up. So we want to know everything, we want to go research, and we want to go into the, Google, and we want to go some other places to research maybe, and we'll come with answers, though all the answers are not in the Google. However, we think that we made to think like that because of the technology and the booming of the technology everywhere. So he's thinking that, why should I just believe what my father said? Why shouldn't I myself search? So he went to look for a human being now in the jungle, obviously. But he was not aware of the other animals. So first encounter he meets is a cow. So he looks at this horn, the size of the cow obviously is larger than the lion. So from distance he's asking, "Excuse me, sir, are you Mr. Human?" The cow read, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim." "See, why? What happened?" She said, "This human being, they take me, they remove my milk, they sell the milk, they make yogurt and cheese, and I'm enslaved to them." So he started thinking, human is more stronger than the cow. Then as he went further, he met camel. And looked at the size and the shape of the camel. It's going up and down like this with a mountainy kind of back. And this huge neck, he said, "This should be human." Then again from distance, he's asking, "Sir, are you the human?" Camel also said, "A'udhu billah, la hawla la quwwata illa billah." "Don't mention these people in front of me." He said, "Why?" He said, "They make me work in field. They slaughter us. They take our milk. They eat our meat." Then he's thinking like, what kind of human is that so gigantic, that is more superior and more stronger than this camel? Then as he went further, he met elephant. Then he said, "No, definitely this should be human because it looks so huge and color is dark, and then it got such a huge legs." Then it's from distance again he asked, "Sir, are you the human?" Elephant also said, "A'udhu billah, la hawla la quwwata illa billah." "Human, don't mention their name. These are not good people." Now this lion is a small cub, is wondering, what is a human being that everybody is scared of it? Then all of a sudden, as he walks, he finds a small child who is the age of 10 years making traps. People who live in a surrounding area, they make traps in order to catch the animals. So he was making traps. Maybe the father taught him. So he was preparing trap maybe to catch a deer, springbok, etc. So the lion saw this particular human child. He asked again same questions. First he said, "This can't be human. Look at my nails and my sharp teeth. I'm more stronger than this particular individual. But let me just ask him." He said, "Are you human?" He said, "Yes, I'm the human." But then he said, "If you are a human, then it's a matter of minutes, that seconds, I'll just come and tear you apart and I'll kill you." So when the human heard this thing, he just moved back because he prepared the trap in front of him. So he moved few steps back. And the lion, without realizing, came forward. As he came forward, he was trapped. And then this human being hanged him upside down on a tree the way they made the trap. Then he realized that, oh, it looked like a small child, but look at his strength and look at his intelligence. He trapped me and I'm now hanging around helpless. So this is what Imam Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah is making mention to us, that there is one hidden enemy that we have been told again and again in Quran. Ash-shaytanu ya'idukum al-faqr. Inna ash-shaytana lakum aduwwun mubin. That no, shaitan is an open foe, open enemy to you. You cannot see, but he's there to misguide you. He'll not let you learn Quran. He'll not let you become a good person. He'll not let you have a good character. He'll make you not speak truth, but he'll make you speak lies. He'll make you all the weird things. When it comes to good things, he'll make it very hard for you. If we are told to read Quran for 2-3 hours, it becomes very hard. But if we are told to watch a game, maybe a soccer game, or maybe to watch something, we'll enjoy watching entertainment. He'll make you entertain in everything, but not in the good and pious things like Quranic salah, etc. So this enemy of yours, he says, that is hidden but is very stronger, just like this human, the way he catches the lion. Then the lion realized, oh, this is the reason my father advised me. I wish I should have listened to him. I wish I would have listened to my father and obeyed his instruction and stayed away from the human. So this is what Quran is making mention to us, that is, stay away from shaitan and the traps of the shaitan. Wherever shaitan makes a trap, stay away. Don't go into that environment where you will be misguided and you'll miss your salah, you'll miss your Quran, you'll miss your religious activity, etc. So now, my respected friends, those who are young, those who are sitting here, parents also, everybody, these two verses of the Quran which I have recited is from Surah Al-Kahf, ayah number 27, 28, and then finally the beginning of the 29. In this surah, Allah has mentioned five principles. If we take it very seriously, and we learn them and obey them, then you'll find success in every step of your life. You'll see success in your examination. You'll see success in the your work, if you're looking for a work. Success in your health, in your project, in your games. I mean the physical game like you're playing. Because Allah grants spiritual strength. When you're spiritually strong, your physical becomes stronger. Then you can do everything what you want to, as long as it is within the parameter of the Sharia, it is permissible, it is halal. So these are the five principles. And this was the kind of introduction I mentioned to make you understand. What are they? It is, وَطْلُوا مَا أُوحِي إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. The first one, the easiest one, the first principle, is to mention the name of Allah on every opportunity you get. Specifically, when you intend to do something now, and the near future, and then the future, all. Like, let's say, second, I'm going home from here. Inshallah, I'm going home. I'll be praying Maghrib in so and so place. Inshallah, I'll be praying Maghrib. Tomorrow, I've got this program. I mention Inshallah. The word Allah's name will be repeated on your tongue, will give you special vitamins that Allah will grant you protection, plus the strength, plus the reward, and plus the fulfillment of your task which you are intending. Such a simple word. This is the most easiest task, which has five principles. The first one is the most easiest one. Inshallah. And second thing, for the past, you say MashaAllah. How did you do your work? Did you pass your examination? Say, MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah, I've done. You see something nice in your house, your parents are alive, always say, MashaAllah, I've got parents with me. MashaAllah, I've got nice books, I've got bags. I've got my kit, my house, my car. If you have, you've got motorcycle, bicycle. What do you say? MashaAllah, all ni'mah, all the bounty which Allah has given to you. Two words, InshaAllah and MashaAllah. MashaAllah is for the past. InshaAllah is for the future. That is what Quran is making mention. That those people who will mention the name of Allah as much as you can, they'll be successful. This is the trap of the shaitan that has made us forget the name of Allah. You know, it gives you conveniency. You have a car, You say, oh, this car can take me from here to place A to place B, from here to London. But you don't mention inshallah. You wear nice clothes, you don't praise Allah by saying mashallah. If you don't mention the name of Allah on the bounty, on the ni'mah, it will give you grief. It will give you cry. It will give you defect and loss. But the moment you mention mashallah on every ni'mah, it becomes kind of protection. You will not lose that property, that ni'mah. And inshallah, when you mention for the future, even if it is now, it's recent or late, Allah will fulfill your task which you want to do. With this also, I remind you, myself and you, that when we leave the house, look at the simple sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, whenever you leave your house, mention Bismillahi, tawakkaltu ala Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Angel will be appointed for that individual who will mention this dua, wuqita, wufita, wa tanaha anhu shaytan. That four du'as are given to that individual that who's leaving his house by mentioning the name of Allah. I rely on Allah. In the name of Allah, I rely on Allah. Tawakkaltu ala Allah. Then, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, the strength, the power, all is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hudita, wuqita, wufita wa tanaha anhu shaytan. Look at the grammar aspect of this four sentence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes I just wonder, and you go in depth of the meaning of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, he's already mentioning you have been guided. Hudita, not you will be guided. It says you have been guided. The moment you say this dua, how simple it is. Something very small. You can write it down on the door of your house so that it can remind you. Maybe you might memorize, but you might forget. But when you see it, it reminds you. So you say you have been guided when you leave the house. Then, wuqita, your task that you're going to study, you're writing your exam, you're going to work, whatever work you're doing, Allah will fulfill. Then, wufita, work will be done, wa wuqita, you'll be saved from fitna of the shaitan, wa tanaha anhu shaitan. You know? So these are the saviors when we mention the name of Allah. That's why I want to bring back that life of the Muslim, that they mention Allah all the time. Insha'Allah, Masha'Allah, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah. You know, something surprised, they say Subhanallah. Something very pleasing, they say Alhamdulillah. Something they plan, say Insha'Allah. Something they already possess, they say Masha'Allah. Five simple words mentioning the name of Allah. Why? It's going to be heavier in the scale of your deeds on the day of judgment. Ni'matani, kalimatani, thaqilatani ala al-mizan. Nabi alayhi salam, the last hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, where he mentioned, there are two words that are very heavier in the scale. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah al-azim. Khafifatani ala al-lisan. Very light on the tongue, but very heavier on the scale. So we must try to mention the name of Allah. Specifically, Quran makes mention, inshaAllah and mashaAllah, you'll never go wrong. So inshaAllah, make intention, because when you hear something inside your heart, you should make intention, Allah, teach me and let me obey and let me practice on this. If you practice, you'll see you benefit yourself. The second principle here is وَطْلُ مَا أُوحِي إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ مِنْ دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا. What a beautiful principle Allah has given to us. It's just like a weapon. If you are in a warring area, now there is everybody wants to persecute you, but you want to fight many enemies and you are individual, then all of a sudden you get the protective shield, kind of, which is protecting you from all the bulletproof shield. If they can fire on you, you don't die. Understand? And you have a weapon to kill everybody. That is what Allah says about the Quran. وَاتْلُوا مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابٍ لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ مِنْ دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا. Three sentences are mentioned. First is the order. Recite the Quran. Children are learning. When you recite the Quran, each word you recite, you get 10 hasanat. More valuable than the 10 pounds. Each letter, alif, lam, mim, alif is a letter, lam is a letter, mim is a letter. Imam Ghazali, he explains this also, not letter, but there are three letters. A, la, fa, alif is one letter, three letters. Lam is lam, alif, mim is another three letters. Mim, ya, mim, mim is also three letters. Imagine three mixed into 90. 90 rewards on mentioning three letters. So if you recite Quran, few pages of the Quran, imagine how much reward you to carry in your bag every day. But it's not just a reward, it's also the vitamins, as I mentioned, multivitamin. Those inshallah, mashallah, are specific vitamins. But this one is a multivitamin. You'll experience strength of iman within yourself. Then when the Quran is recited, then you'll want to perform your salah. You'll want to go close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to live a life which is pure. You don't want to lie. People will lie. You'll not lie. You'll not like to lie. Say, I won't lie. I want to be an honest person. I will even not lie in my jest, etc. So this is what Quran offers. I have met people because I'm imam for past 31 years almost. So we encourage people to recite the Quran. I met these individuals few, I think last Ramadan, this Ramadan. So he tells me that, Sheikh, I've been reading from last Ramadan to this Ramadan, 2.5 juz a day. He's from Leicester, the individual, youngster. I said, 2.5 sipar a day. Because I was trying to say that people are there who read 7 juz a day, 7 sipar a day, and they finish within 5 days. So I said, those who cannot do, try to make it 5 sipar a day. Finish it in 6 days or something, 7 days. The 6th one finishes in 5 days. You make it in a week. I was just giving example. People are doing this. So this man says, I couldn't do that, but I read 2.5 sipar a day. 2.5 sipar a day. And it's been like 1 year. But what I'm experiencing now is completely different, he said. Yeah. Now I can bear testimony that I'm experiencing something completely different. Wherever I go, whatever I do, Allah gives me success in whatever I do. Quran is such a powerful book. It's not there for only learning in madrasa. It is there that you continue reciting. Make intention that I want to listen. Those who cannot finish 2.5 sipara, at least make intention of 2.5 page. 2.5 page a day. Just 2.5 a page of Quran. If you have learned 2 siparas, you're already in the 3rd sipara, make revision from the back. 2 pages. 2.5 page a day. And those who can read more, you will experience yourself. Try it. What will happen? First thing, because of reciting Quran, the purity comes in you. When the purity comes, it removes the darkness. Darkness can be sins. Sins of watching something on the telephone. Sins of watching something on the game maybe. That time which used to pass, which was futile, useless, no beneficial. And then some of these sins are so stronger, they puncture our iman. If you are looking at something haram, it punctures the iman. How it punctures, like if you have a plastic container and you put water or if you put milk in it, plastic, not bottle but like a plastic bag. Some countries if you go buy milk, it's not packet, it's like a proper plastic bag they give you. If you put a small needle, then the milk will come out. As soon as you walk, the milk will keep on dropping. Hadith makes mention, not a needle, but it's kind of dagger. When you see something haram, it damages by the dagger, by the spear, or by the arrow. Sahmun min siham al-shaytan. This is from Sahih al-Bukhari. Looking at something haram is one of the arrow of the shaytan. And it comes and damages you. It shoots from your eyes, you're watching, but it damages your iman to such an extent that you'll not be able to sit for Quran not longer. It will make you do something wrong. It will make you happy in that. But for temporarily happiness. But if you want to enjoy eternal happiness, is only in Quran. However, when the pure will come, then you start hating the movies maybe, the dramas maybe. So you say, what is the benefit? It's all lie. It is all deception. It is all delusion. And I would say like illusion. You know, it makes you see something which is not there. Whoever has acted, whoever does there, they just temporarily. Even if somebody is following the games, I know some British people, they love soccer games. But what is the end benefit? Even if you support a particular team, and you say, oh, I love this player. I understand that he's got a very strong kick. But have you seen an elephant when it kicks? Elephant kick is more stronger. How come you don't love elephant, you love that individual? Understand? Well, what is happening to these people? They earn so much of money, and from which majority of them are part of the Rotary or Lions Club. I don't know if you know it, but these are the Zionist, Freemason, you know, Illuminati clubs which belong in European and American countries. And what they do, they make them become part of that and they make them pay 10-20% of their earning. And these are the people who are killing now our Muslim mu'mineen in Gaza and in Palestine. These are the people that they control the world and control the media and majority for the use the games. So this, every game which you follow, even if you support, end of the day, they are not going to come and sympathize with you. If you are suffering, they'll not come and give you financial help. But you helping them by watching and paying and buying their product. If you play yourself, then there are many benefits, obviously. You can become stronger, you can learn the skills. But as far as support is concerned, you are supporting the people who are killing our Muslim fellow brothers. However, so this kind of thing will slowly, slowly come to understanding, because now we come to the pure, conducive Islamic environment. We're just reciting the Quran, 2.5 pages. Or those who can do 2 siparas, 1 juz a day, well, no, then you'll enjoy this, what I'm mentioning. وَاتْلُوا مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. Then Allah says, لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِهِ. Nothing will change in Quran. It is such a protective kitab, which is the miracle. All the books which came in the past have changed, but Quran has never changed. Look at the miracle, that it is not only book which is most recited, most learned by half. Actually, from the previous scripts which were revealed, some of the ulama and some of the anbiya, most of the anbiya would learn by heart, but not the people. But this kitab is the only kitab among the script and the revelation of our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that millions, thousands and thousands of people have learned by heart. And that's why it can never be, you know, changed, because people have learned by heart. That's how Allah protects the Quran. So Quran is something that repeatedly recited. Qara'a, Qurun. There are two different meanings from the root word, but one is the most recited book on the face of earth. And ask anybody, any research, you'll come to know that Quran is repeatedly recited by millions and thousands of people. So this is what is لا مبدل لكلمات. Nothing will change. Then he says, وَلَن تَجِدَ مِن دُونِهِ مُلْتَحَدًا. You all that I said in the beginning, that something which will save you, here Allah is making mention, that you will never find refuge anywhere but in Quran. In the Quran, Allah will give you refuge against all your mental depression, mental difficulty, educational difficulty, physical difficulty, spiritual difficulty. Allah says, وَنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So many places Allah discusses about the shifa, the cure of the spiritualities, cure of the mental problem, cure of the physical problem. So this is what we do. Second principle. The third one, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشَيِّ يُرِدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. It's a very simple example that I'm giving you so that you can remember and practice them. Allah says, He brought the word sabr, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ. Once in a week, and those who can do many times is better, but it makes, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه. Try to stay in the company of the ulama, of the scholars. Like you've come here now, you're sitting with ulama maybe. Or you can go somewhere else. Sometimes some speech takes place on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. One speech in a week is nothing. 15 minutes, 30 minutes. No, you give that time, you remain in the company of the people who are calling towards Allah. يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي. There are people who go in da'wah. They also do the same work. They call you, just come to the masjid, listen to the bayan. Somebody is giving lecture, he's giving tafsir of the Quran, he's reading hadith. So you stay in their company at least once in a week. Not a great. But here what he's mentioning, Allah brings wasbir. It's going to be hard for you. Yeah, I must sit for 1 hour. But you are the same person. If I put a, you know, game here, and you can see some, I don't want to mention the name of the team. But those who are playing, you know, any league, without getting bored, you'll watch the whole game like this attentively, without even moving maybe. But when it comes to Quranic recitation, shaitan will come and make you bored. You'll feel, hey, wow, it's so long, man, it's taking very long, how come? But for that thing, he'll not make you feel bored, you see. Why? Because something other than a righteous path. So what he's saying, isbir, exercise patience. Even though if you don't like it, you'll come to like it after some time. You know, beginning you might not like it, but as I said, the purity when it will come, you'll start liking. You'll want to sit and listen more and more and try to learn more and more, because this is knowledge. Quran is like an ocean, so you want to learn more and more. So he said, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. Exercise patience with those who remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala morning and evening. Then this is the third point. The fourth one is like big difficult, but we have to learn. He says, وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. Allah says that, oh people, oh believers, do not obey, do not follow those individuals that who have turned away from my teachings, for who has turned away from me, who has turned away from my religion. وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا. We have clogged their hearts. So they become so arrogant and they become so disobedient, don't obey them. You know, like especially as I mentioned, all these soccer players, and there can be many others, you know, they have got special hairstyle. So we think that, like, you know, I should also cut my hair in the similar manner. Allah says, وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ. These people are deviant. Don't cut your hair like them. You have role model. Allah has given us beautiful role model. And who is that? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has got three hairstyles. You can keep any one of them. One is that he would have same size hair, shorter or longer. Or he would have his hair up to the earlobe. Or ear up to the shoulder. You can keep any hairstyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is success, because the hairstyle also will give you, you know, ibadat will give you reward. So imagine, he says, don't follow the people, or don't imitate, actually, emulating them. Those who are against Quran and Hadith, those who are against our Sharia. Maybe you now you watch the game, is alright, but now don't start keeping your hairstyle according to them or anything like that. This is what the fourth principle is saying. The fifth one, now as time goes, it becomes a little bit harder. The fifth one is, وَقُولِ الْحَقِّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. You as a Muslim child, as a youth, as a young person, or as an individual Muslim, it is your duty to speak the truth. وَقُولِ الْحَقِّ. If you cannot eat something which is haram, the force is, no, it's haram, I cannot eat, my religion doesn't give me permission. I will not speak lies. I will not do something which is haram. I will not watch something which is haram. But not only practicing, but also saying that me, I'm abstaining from this particular haram. So this is called وَقُولِ الْحَقِّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. If somebody wants to believe you, he believes you. If someone don't believe you, it's okay. But your duty is to convey the message to your fellow friends, to your colleagues, to your co-worker if you are working, etc. So these are the five principles of the Quran, which is called Suratul Kahf. Now the hadith which I recited, it's a very lengthy hadith and it's got a lot of explanation, but there's something to do with youth here. And since you have gathered here and we have got few more minutes left, and then inshallah, after eating such, this is called spiritual food which you're eating. So after you eat your spiritual food, then I have heard that now they have prepared for you physical food also. That will be after Maghrib Salah inshallah. So stay behind and also enjoy that fruit also, food also. So here it is mentioned, Sab'atun يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. Now we leave this world and we go to a different planet. What I mentioned earlier was to practice in this world, in this dunya. Now Allah wants to show you something which you're going to enjoy in the hereafter. For those who practice in good thing here, what they will enjoy there. They say seven category of the people, سَبْعَةٌ. There will be seven category of the people or classification. يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. On the day of judgment, you'll see the humanity, not million, billions and trillions of people, without shade, without cloth, sun very close. They're in their perspiration and desperation, running from here to there, looking for help and difficult. But there'll be a group of people, you'll see from far, angels have protected them from the surrounding area. They have shade above their head, and they have coolness, and the others are suffering. So this seven category, now Allah gave us chance by this hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we can put ourselves into that category. Very easy action we have to carry out. Five I've mentioned, those are the principles, obviously, and then action also. But here also is mentioning Imam Adil. Now this one is for the Imam. Like, you know, Imam can be a father, can be an Imam of the Masjid, can be a ruler of the country, can be a governor, can be, you know, mayor. These are the people who are leading. So if they are just, they do justice with the subordinate. So this is one of the categories that he will be under the shade. But our category is mentioned here, Shabun Nasha fi ibadatillah, is that youth. Youth is so precious. That I was reading today, the initial support comes from woman and youth. If the woman folk support somebody, and the youth support that father, that individual become very successful. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at his example. When he returns back from the revelation, when Jibreel comes to him and tells him, Iqra, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, recite in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then it was recognized that I'm the prophet, I have to recite and convey. When he comes home, the first person to support him was his wife, Khadija radiallahu anha. You know, when she supported, then he said, I'm here now to preach, I'm here as a prophet. Who is the first human being after Khadija radiallahu anha to become Muslim? Can somebody tell me, please? I'm asking you a question. If you recall, what is his name? Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib. What was his age? 10 years old. This is a youngster growing. The second person immediately after Khadija radiallahu anha was Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anha throughout his life. Then from this individual, when I keep on looking, those who conveyed, who is the first person sent as an ambassador, as the preacher, as the da'i, as the scholar to Madinatul Munawwara, took all the credit of all the people who shall become Muslim and who shall follow. The first person to go, I don't know if you remember his name, from the Sahaba, Umair bin Musab bin Umair radiallahu anhu. What was his age? Between 17 and 19, a youngster. Who was he? The wealthiest individual of Makkatul Mukarramah. He was orphaned, the father passed away, but the mother was excessive wealthy. She would buy the best of the perfume. In fact, the sellers of the perfume, they would come to Makkah, they would first target the house of Musab bin Umair radiallahu anhu and sell it to her. She'll buy the best of the clothing. In that particular days and time, if he wore one cloth one day, he would never repeat. So much of wealth he had. When he passes from the alley, alleys or the road or street, by the fragrance, people would know that maybe Musab passed from him because fragrance, there's a very sweet smell here. Such a wealthy person. But soon as he becomes Muslim, everything is seized. The parents take away the luxury, the clothing. In fact, they even took his clothing which he was wearing. He was thrown out without clothes. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sahabi, provided him the bottom part, somebody provided him the top part. But such a sacrifice. If I tell you the beating, oof. They tied him in a carpet. Those are different kind of carpet. They tied him and the family together hit him. Actually, but Allah, he had life, he didn't die. But after so much of hitting, they threw him out. They say, reject deen, denounce this religion which you have come with. But he said, no, ahad, Allahu ahad, la ilaha illallah, I'll never change. That's why youth has got such a power. When they follow the Quran and Hadith, they become the leaders. So then our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after teaching him, makes him now the first da'i who goes to Madinatul Munawwara. Understand? And then in the battlefield also, there are many, many Sahabas who are African people, who are from Abyssinia. And they were the leading. In one of the battles in Qadisiyya, they produced Zayd radiallahu anhu's son, I forgot his name, the Sahabi. He was produced as the leader. So when the Romans saw the African men, they said, oh, who? Because they thought African are like kind of slaves or something like that. Wallahi azubillah. Islam came to make everybody equal. There is no superiority of an African person or the white person over the African or brown person over the European. Each are equal in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason why he gave us different color was to lita'arafu, in order to we can recognize men from this planet Asia, men from this planet of European country, Orientalist or African, just for recognition. But in the eyes of Allah, human beings are the same. Whoever will be doing good action will gain the superiority. People only remember Bilal radiallahu anhu, but there are many, many other African Sahabis. So this particular battlefield, they bring a Sahabi who is only Usama radiallahu anhu, Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, age of 16. He's just 16 years old and is son of an African man. So he comes in front. So the Romans say, what is this man? He's a slave in our country. We can't discuss. So they tell him, he's our leader. He's the most talented person. So they said that, but a youngster, African. Then Usama replies that I'm in front, but behind me there are many other Africans. Islam was not only for the Asian or the Arabs, it was for everybody, every country, every denomination. However, so what I'm trying to highlight here, that the youngster, what he can do is greater than anybody else. If you make intention of changing, you will become the leader. Each one of you who's sitting here can become the leader of this country, can become leader of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he says, shabun, a youngster, nasha'a fi ibadatillah. He spends his life in ibadah. It means in obedience. Ibadah is not like worshipping 24 hours, it's obedience. What he does, he abstains from sin. He doesn't lie. He doesn't look at things which are haram. He doesn't waste his time on playing games and watching these dramas and movies. He doesn't waste those. He'll rather do something progressive, learn Islamic history, learn Islamic fiqh, learn the tafsir of the Quran, the Arabic language, or different languages for sake of preaching this religion. He spends his time in obedience, helping the parents, helping the father, he's doing something good, progressive. So this individual, it is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the highest height. So this nasha'a fi ibadatillah. He spent his life in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He'll be under that shade I was mentioning. Because when he was young, he was never disobedient of Allah. That is it means fi ibadatillah. This is one of the category, inshallah. Then hadith makes mention, رَجُلٌ مُعَلَّقٌ رَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. Now again to the different, you know, people who are sitting here. Their heart, men whose heart is attached to masjid. When salah finishes, he goes home, he goes to work, but he thinks that when is the Dhuhr salah? I'll perform in masjid. He goes home, he rests, he eats, but he's thinking, when is the Asr salah? His heart is attached to the masjid, but when I'm going to go back? That's why we plan our day according to our salah. We stay outside, but the focus of ours is the masjid. When is our next prayer? I'll go, I'll meet my friends, I'll meet the imam, I'll meet the people, I'll meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala each time when I perform this salah. So the heart is attached to the masjid. Those such people also will be under the category of the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then رَجُلٌ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ فَأَخْفَاهَا حَتَّى لَا تَعْلَمُ شِمَالُهُ مَا يُنْفِقُ يَمِينُهُ. That charity is a very powerful tool which Allah has given to us. Even if it's £1. If you get spending of £10, £20, £100, whatever you get. But if you learn to give charity in such a secrecy that no one knows, but you saw a poor person, you gave it. You saw an organization helping the people in Palestine or somewhere there, in Syria, in Yemen, wherever Muslims are starving and in difficulty. You give little charity, even if it's £1, £5 from your own. Your charity is a very powerful tool. You should learn now. So he says, فَأَخْفَاهَا. He gave it in such a way nobody knew, but he helped somebody. This your helping will become so stronger that on the day of judgment, you'll also enjoy that shade which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised. And then there are many other categories, inshallah, on the next occasion we'll discuss. With these few words I want to conclude, but before I conclude, we've got a few minutes. So we want to open the floor for the people who, if you have got any question to whatever we have discussed or anything other to do with the religion, you may raise your hands up and ask, then I'll be able to reply, inshallah, with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyone has got any question? Don't feel shy. If you stay, if you speak, if you have something in your heart, if you didn't know something, or you know some ambiguity in my language, or sometimes if you want to ask, please go ahead. Therefore, we make dua, inshallah. Anyone for question? United States, they ask a lot of questions. I don't know how come the British people are very quiet. Bismillah. Wa alaykum as-salam.
What if he made mistakes and then he tries to be better in the rest of his youth? Does he count as well in the category?
You see, once, if you make tawbah, tawbah is the strongest tool. It's like an edit. Like, you know, in our computer language, we call it edit. There used to be also a software so that it edits pictures. Like, you got a whole video, you want to edit from the bad parts, then you just go into the system and it edits. So this Tawbah is like an edit machine. So our life which was bad, if you take a picture of it, somewhere we made mistakes, somewhere we made sin, something like that. So Tawbah is just like editing, removing that part, removing that part, removing that part, removing every bad part. So, and then such a Tawbah, it's called Tawbah al-Nasuha in Quran. That, oh Allah, I promise to you that I will never repeat. First, the promise, tawbah, condition of tawbah. Second, to leave that sin. Like, for example, a bad video or something in a phone, and sometimes shaitan makes you that, you know, it brings craving, desire in you, that look at that video sometime, and it's haram. So you have to remove that, delete that. Understand? Like, for example, or a bad friend, you know, he takes you always to wrong place, so you have to leave that guy, person. That this man, whenever I go with him, I smoke, or I do something haram, so rather abstain. So first condition is to promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never to repeat. Second, to live this sin. Third one is to have remorse that Allah, I made mistake in my life. Forgive me. Grant me forgiveness. And fourth one is not part of hadith, but to remember the muhaddithin, they make mention. Remember that promise. So soon as you've done these four things, your sin is wiped in such a manner as if you didn't commit sin. At-ta'ib min al-zambi kamalla zamba. Hadith makes mention. The one who makes tawbah from sin, it is as if he has not committed sin. I just recall one incident. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, he was a traveler. He used to be a very simple person, would carry bowl, one pillow, I think he had a stick, and maybe plate or something. Very simple. This was all everything, possession. But he would travel and then preach people, and then travel to next city, preach people. This was his life. And then slowly, slowly, disciples started joining him. But there's one journey that he made it in the early part of the morning. And those days, thieves would steal. The houses were of different kind, but they would, what they would do is they would not go through the doors. They would break the wall those days. I don't know what's the reason. If they find an empty house, nobody staying there. So they would come and slowly, slowly, because from door, maybe people would see, I don't know what. So he was busy breaking the wall. They make a hole and then they enter inside. That's how they used to rob houses. It so happened that Isa, alayhi salam, when he walked, and that guy was busy breaking, he didn't even know who is Isa, but he learned something about religion. So as soon as he see Isa, he was sitting down, he just stood up. And he says, Wallah ma sariqtu. He says, in the name of Allah, I take oath, I didn't steal. So Isa alayhi salam says, كَذَّبْتُ عَيْنِي وَصَدَّقْتُ رَبِّي. I falsify my eyes and I testify my Rabb. What I have seen is not truth. He was busy stealing. But what you are saying, by the name of my Rabb, I believe you. So tawbah is, he made tawbah maybe. So when you make tawbah, then your past is absolutely deleted and you don't have to even worry about it. Is there anything else somebody wants to ask? Say my son. All right, inshallah, we make dua. Huh? All right, yeah.
Because we all, from youth, become younger.
Yes, yes.
And sometimes when we get older, the anger carries on with us. What is the best way of battling that anger? When you grow up, like you mentioned about the lion, changes as you get older, but it has a negative effect.
Yes. Anger has caused many failures of talented people. Anger is obviously, if it is not controlled, then it's from shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us guidelines from the Quran. Wal kadhimin al ghayz wal afina anil nas wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. Allah ma'alusi rahmatullah alayhi in tafsir ruhul ma'ani makes mention. Allah has brought, when it came to anger, the word kadhim. Kadhim has got many meanings, but the Arabic language is very rich. But the most understanding and easier one was that is to contain. Anger has to have, you have to be angry, otherwise you'll become the youth. How will you defend your honor? How will you defend your property if you don't have anger? You just let people steal and people disgrace you. You have to be standing up. But that has to be within limits. Kadhim means you contain. That you don't become vulgar, you don't become abusive, you don't become oppressive, you don't use your hand, you don't use your language, bad language. You can become angry and maybe say something, it's not right thing. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. But not abusive. So you remain within the limits, within the hudud. Listen. Or you didn't hit somebody, etc. But you can express your anger. This what you've done is not right. So this kadhim, wal kadhimin al ghayz. Allah says those people who contain their anger. But on top of what is mentioned, Allah Ma'aruf says that I used to wonder what is kadhim properly. So I saw Arabs, they carry the water container, a leather bag. Those days in 60s, I don't know if there are some pictures available of Makkah al-Mukarramah, you'll find people carrying on their back Zamzam water. It's made of leather bag. The bags are still available in the museum in Madinatul Munawwara and Makkah also. And then when they fill up the water, they would tie it. So this tying of the leather bag with the water is called kadhim. Anger should be there, but should be controlled. That you don't use any bad word, any abusive language. Now you don't get angry, you start hitting somebody. You control. You're angry, but you control yourself. Then Allah, what He says, because Allah knows this element is going to be with us. But don't live with the anger now and vengeance. You sit little while. If you're angry, sit down. If you're is not calming, then you move from one room to another room. If not, the final is wudu. Make wudu because water calms all the fire. This will definitely cool you down. So what you do, after a little while, afina anin nas. You forgive them. If they made mistake, then you forgive that individual. Okay, son, okay, daughter, okay, wife, whatever, brother. You made mistake, I got angry. Alhamdulillah, let's forgive and forget and let's forgive you. Finish. Afina anin nas. Then one who has anger, contains the anger, forgives, Allah grants him a category. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsineen. Allah loves those who are kind. This is a kind person Allah makes mention. But muhsinin in category of hadith and Quran is a higher level of iman. That Allah will grant him the conscience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what will be reward for that person who gets angry but contains his anger. With such a great reward, then we should not be controlled over anger. Another thing I must mention here, anger is a deceiving element. It's not honest. You can only get angry on people who are weaker than you. If somebody becomes stronger, then the anger will cool down. And I remember very well. Because the United States is known for the cowboys and, you know, the Texas where I used to live. So he's saying that a person, you know, who was a kind of stronger gangster, maybe height was shorter, but he brought his horse and went to have some drink inside the bar. And there was another gangster outside. He was painting. So he painted his horse also. So when he came out, he said, "Who the hell, you know, who the heck is this? And who did this to my horse?" So another huge man came out, you know, said, "It's me." Soon as he said, no, I was just praising. The paint was very nice. Thing. So we have seen that anger is always to the one who is weaker than you. The husband tends to get angry on the wife. Now the wife has got this, Imam Ghazali mentions. He said, it remains in the mind. You know, somebody shouted you. Like, you know, a customer comes to your shop and you are the boss, but you have to sometimes listen to the, because he shouts you and he leaves the shop. The father, now the boss is wondering, what should I do? So his anger is there. So what he angry? On the co-workers. People are working under him. The husband gets angry outside. Now what he does? He shouts at the wife. Now the wife also takes that anger. She looks for someone who is weaker. They look at the child. She shouts at the child. The child says, "Now I'm the eldest and look at my mother shouting." He look for the young one. He shouts at the young one. Eventually the young one also will look for someone. If he can't find something, he sees a cat or something or dog, he hits with a rock. So it's something it is within human for it to contain and control that. Alright. InshaAllah, make dua, subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdiki. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا واخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين رب ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغيرا ربنا زدنا علما إيمانا ويقينا ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما رب اجعل لي مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم كن لأهل الغزة معينا وناصرا اللهم كن لأهل الغزة ناصرا ومعينا اللهم كن لأهل الغزة ناصرا ومعينا اللهم احفظهم من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب القبر وعذاب الآخرة اللهم تقبل منهم شهداءهم اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.
جزاك الله خير. المفتي صاحب mentioned very important points. الحمد لله عز وجل. We all have holidays from tomorrow. So just in conclusion, whenever we come to a talk of Islam or in Deen in general, whenever we come to the masjid, there should be something we take home. It's not just to come to the masjid, and once we're done from the masjid, once we leave the masjid, we forget everything that's been said. So at least a few points we should take. If you can't take all the points, then at least a few points. The first point, Mufti Sa mentioned, is that let us all try and be in the constant dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is very easy. We leave the masjid, we're going home. We can pray the dua. We leave the masjid. All of us here, we're going to leave the masjid. We can pray the dua for leaving the masjid. Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlika wa rahmatik. We're all going to walk home. Or we're either going to go into the car. So we pray the dua for boarding a vehicle. We're all going to go home. After salah, we may all eat. So we can all recite the dua before eating. After we finish eating, we can recite the dua after eating. So in our entire day, just think from the moment we wake up to the time we go to sleep, how many rewards we miss out on? How many good deeds we miss out on? Hadith comes to mind. that on the day of that Prophet ﷺ said that there was one person from those before you, and this person, he passed away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angels to him. So when the angels reached him, they asked him that, just name one good thing you've done in your life, just one good thing, and I'll enter you into Jannah. So this person, he thinks to himself, and he says to the angels, that I cannot think of a single good thing I've done in the world, that I didn't spend a day in salah, I did nothing in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the angels go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels that no, go back to him. There must have been one thing that this person did in his life that could earn my pleasure. So the angels go back, and the angels ask him again, that just name one thing you've done. So the angels, this person, he looks at the angels and he says, that I can't think of anything. So the angels say, dhakir, that just think one thing you've done in your life to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this person, he says, the only thing I can think of is that I was a very wealthy man, and I used to give debts to people, I used to give money to people. So when the time would come to repay the debts, I would tell the people who would go under me to go to collect the money, that if he's in a difficult position, then leave him. Just let him go. Just say at a later date you can repay. And if he can pay, then just tell him that even if you want more time, I'll give you more time. So the angels go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the only good thing he's done. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels, that this person, he could overlook, he could have mercy on my servants in the world. Today I'm going to have mercy on him and he can enter Jannah. So don't ever underestimate anything we do. Any dua we pray, dua before eating, especially to those parents. At home everything starts. If at the masjid, the imam, the maulana, whatever he is, the teacher, is telling the students in the class that do so and so, come to the masjid, recite the dua before eating, all of this, and at home nothing's happening, then it's not going to work. It has to come from both sides, the masjid and home. So all of us, let us make an intention today that every act we do, for everything is a dua. In madrasa we learn, my students will know that for everything is a dua, before eating, after eating, and waking up. Let us make it a habit in the house that automatically, when we all sit down to eat, as a father, as a mother, whoever's sitting at home, that we say, Bismillahi wa ala barakatillah. And by doing so, our children automatically understand the virtue of this. The second thing Muftisa mentioned is the recitation of the Quran. That it is sad today that all of us, we go to college, we'll go to university, we'll spend 5-6 hours a day in school, we'll do everything. We'll come home, we'll go on holidays. The only thing we don't have time for in our day is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This Quran, if you understood the value of this Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. That if you were to reveal this Quran on a mountain, you would see it, لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. That this mountain would completely crumble in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us make it a point, as Mufti Saab mentioned, that maybe if not difficult to recite a juz of the Quran, at least 2 pages of the Quran, 3 pages of the Quran. For those parents, we should make a point that in our households every single day, that maybe we sit down and we watch, I don't know, movies, we watch a football game together. At least make 10 minutes of the day in our house where we recite the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a family, there are certain surahs we recite, Surah Mulk, every day at night. It's 4 sides. Takes how long? 10 minutes for us to read. 10 minutes. For most of us, 5 minutes. For those of us doing hiv, less than 5 minutes. 10, 15 minutes. And this surah, we all know the virtue. That it saves us from the adab of qabr. When we're in the qabr, when we're alone in our graves, this surah will help us. So 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day, as a family, we should gather everyone together and tell them that let us recite this surah together. Being the holidays now, we all have extra time. The third thing Muftisa mentioned is good company. That let us frequent the masjid. Many a times, our children want to come to the masjid, yet we feel lazy at certain times as parents, that we're working the whole day, and we don't attend the masjid. Many a times people come to me, parents come to me and they say that my son is not listening to me, he's not coming to the masjid. But now the question you have to pose to yourselves is that growing up, your child, how many times a day did you bring him to the masjid? If our children don't see us bringing them to the masjid, then don't for one moment think that they'll automatically come to the masjid themselves. So being the holidays, the Isha Salah today, we'll all pray Maghrib Salah together, 8:15. Isha Salah today is at 10 p.m. Many of us, we have work off tomorrow. We have holiday today. 10 o'clock, it's late, it's not very late. We all have holidays, school holidays. Let us all make an effort that we come for Isha Salah. We came for Asr, we came for Maghrib. Prophet ﷺ said that man salla al-bardain dakhala al-jannah, that whoever prays Isha and Fajr in the masjid, he will enter Jannah. Fajr Salah, it's difficult, it's not easy. 5:30 in the morning, 5:15 in the morning. If you cannot attend the masjid, it's difficult for us to attend the masjid. Then at the very least, at least wake everyone up at home and pray together as a family. The masjid may be hard for us, we should try and come to the masjid. If this is difficult, then at least at home, all of us should pray Salah. And finally, we should avoid bad company. Many of us, we may think we don't have bad friends, but the worst friend we can have is our mobile phone. In the masjid, when the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking place, the speech of Jumu'ah is taking place, even then we find it difficult to stay off our phones. So the holidays are coming. I'm speaking to those of our young here, that we have a lot of time. Many of us make up at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and we have so much time that we think to ourselves, how can I kill this time? So what do? We open up our phones. We go on our apps, Snapchat, TikTok, whatever it is. And we may open our phones at 1 p.m. And before we know it, it's already 6 p.m. And what have you achieved? As Mufti Sahib mentioned, that nothing. We've just been scrolling, and achieved nothing. So the holidays are coming. Speaking to the youth here, that make a timetable. That I'll wake up late, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. No one's stopping you. It's the holidays, you can wake up late. But a few things. Firstly, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you wake up, pray the dua for waking up. Secondly, make a point, especially the youth, that the holidays are coming for 7 days, starting from tonight, from today, Maghrib, Isha. Firstly, I'll try and pray all my salah in the masjid. Every single salah I'll try and pray in the masjid. If not, then at least, at the very least, I'll pray them at home. And I'll pray them on their time. All of us, we have phones here. Many of our youngsters, we all have phones. So we should set an alarm at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'll wake up for Fajr Salah. I'll do wudu. And think of it, if you just wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, we do wudu, we pray Salah. It's 2 rakats, 2 sunnahs, and 2 fardh. It will take us a maximum, no more than 10 minutes. No more than 10 minutes it will take us to pray our Fajr Salah. So make a point that firstly, I'll wake up, I'll recite the dua. Secondly, I'll make sure that I pray all my Salah on time, if you can, in the masjid. And we don't have an excuse now, the weather's opening up now. Many of us, we can walk to the masjid ourselves. We can bike to the masjid. We can ask our fathers to bring us to the masjid. Many of us are on holidays. So, first of all, wake up in the morning. Pray the du'as. Du'a for waking up, du'a for eating, etc. Secondly, when you come to the masjid, pray all our salahs. If it's difficult for us to come to the masjid, if you live far from the masjid, then at the very least, pray at home. Thirdly, recite the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many a times, we have this thought that the only time, and this is a sad reality, that the only time a child prays the Quran is when he comes to the madrasa. From 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock, this is the only time he'll open up the Quran. Many of us, we only open the Quran when it's the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan comes, we open the Quran. The 29th of Ramadan comes, the day of Eid comes, the Quran is on our shelves. Until the next Ramadan, we don't open it. This Quran was not made for the month of Ramadan. Just think to ourselves that at least 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, we spend reciting the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially as parents, that we tell our children that go to the masjid, pray properly, and become a hafiz, maybe do this, do that. And our children, they don't see us reciting the Quran any time in the day. Then the children, they're not going to, our children absorb, when they see things, they click on. So if our children don't see us reciting the Quran, our children don't see us that we're not attending the masjid, then they automatically themselves will think, but if my parents are not giving importance to this, but my parents are pushing me in school, they're pushing me in college, they're pushing me in university, but they're giving no importance to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they'll make the mind up that I know what's important is my education, and everything else comes secondary, my salah comes secondary. So let us all try and act upon these 3 points. Firstly, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we wake up, we recite the dua, we're all going to eat right now, we're all going to leave the masjid, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlika wa rahmatik, we're all going to eat, bismillahi wa ala barakatillah. After we eat, alhamdulillahi alladhi at'amana wa saqana wa ja'alana muslimin. All of these du'as, we should be the ones to say them. And when we remind others, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man dalla ala khayrin kafa'ilihi. Whoever shows someone towards something good, he'll get the reward. So we're all sitting to eat after salah. Then if our partners are not reciting, our friends are reciting, then let us be the one to say, let us recite the du'a, and we'll get this reward. So the first thing, reciting the du'as. Secondly, praying our salah. Preferably in the masjid, starting from today, Maghrib, we're going to pray together. We should tell our fathers that Isha Salah is at 10 p.m. Let us be honest with ourselves. What do we do at 10 p.m.? Many of us, we just sit at home, we're just scrolling on our phones, and we're just wasting time. Rather than that, we should try and attend the masjid. And if we cannot attend the masjid, if we live far from the masjid, if our fathers are at work, then at the very least, pray at home. And finally, recite the Quran, recite the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even reciting one page of the Quran, this in itself, we should question ourselves. But we're working all day, we're difficult, we find it difficult, then at least 2 pages of the Quran a day. And in the Quran, there are certain surahs we should recite. Surah Mulk, for example, 4 sides of the Quran. How long does it take? 10 minutes, 15 minutes at most. At most, 20 minutes. No one here is going to take them more than 20 minutes to recite Surah Mulk. So these are investments of the Akhirah. So just in conclusion, the first thing, recite the du'as. Secondly, pray all your salah, especially in the holidays, all of us be off. And finally, recite the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to act upon what has been said. And finally, I'd like to thank Mufti Saab for taking his time out. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to accept his work in spreading the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. كلا إذا دكت الأرض دكا دكا وجاء ربك والملك صفا صفا وجيء يومئذ بجهنم يومئذ يتذكر الإنسان وأنى له الذكرى يقول يا ليتني قدمت لحياتي فيومئذ لا يعذب عذابه أحد ولا يوثق وثاقه أحد يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. Allahu Akbar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله.